Now, in the first part of Revelation, we're going to offer this one that deals with the first 12 chapters. And if you would like to have it, you'll have to send in a gift for the program. We have to make it that way because this is a book, a volume, and we do ask folk that are interested to support the program, and I don't think that's being unfair. Now, we do have notes and outlines which are much briefer, and we'll be very happy to send those to you with no charge whatsoever. And you'll need both of these, actually, as you follow us through this study. Now, there is another danger we need to avoid, and that is of thinking that the book of Revelation can be put on a chart. Now, I make that statement because I happen to have a chart myself, and I've used it before. But I'll not be using it in this study, and I'll tell you why. A chart generally is so complicated, if you get everything in it, nobody can understand it. And on the other hand, if it's too brief, or so you can understand it, it doesn't tell you enough. That's always been my danger. I have several charts. In fact, I have them here in my briefcase today. The different ones have sent me, men, frankly, that I have great confidence in. And one of them is so complicated that you need a chart to understand his chart, because it's a very complicated thing. So we'll not be using a chart, but I will attempt to simplify at different stages as we go through this book the overall picture, because the Bible opens not only on a world view, a global view, but a universal view. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the book of Revelation is another, not only global book, but universal book. It shows what God is going to do with His universe and with His creatures. There's no book quite like this. Now, the present condition today, the failure of every great department of our contemporary culture has so failed in presenting leadership for the world that men are puzzled and they've turned in every direction. Now, this has been going on for some time. In fact, ever since World War II, why, men have been feeling like this. I'd like to continue giving you some quotations from men at the end of World War II who sensed what was coming even in our day. Dr. John R. Mott, who, after returning from a trip around the world, made this statement. He says, "The most dangerous era the world has ever known." And he says, "When I think of human tragedies, I saw it and felt it, of the Christian ideals sacrificed as they've been, the thought comes to me that God is preparing the way for some immense direct action." My friend, that's what the book of Revelation is all about. God is preparing the world for some direct action. Then Winston Churchill, before he died, said, "Time may be short." And Mr. Luce, before he died, he was up in San Francisco, and you remember he was the editor of Life, Time, and Fortune magazines. He made this statement. He says that when he was a boy, the son of a Presbyterian missionary in China, he and his father often discussed the premillennial coming of Christ, and he thought that all missionaries who believed in that teaching were inclined to be fanatical. And then Mr. Luce said, and I'm quoting directly now, "I wonder if there wasn't something to that position after all." Dr. Charles Beard, the American historian, said, "All over the world, the thinkers and searchers who scan the horizon of the future are attempting to assess the values of civilization and speculating about its destiny." And Dr. William Yote in The Road to Civilization said, "The handwriting on the wall of five continents now tells us that the day of judgment is at hand." And Dr. Raymond B. Fosdick, who was president of the Rocky Foundation, said, "To many ears comes the sound of the tramp of doom. Time is short." H.G. Wells, before he died, declared, and I'm quoting him, "This world is at the end of its tether. The end of everything we call life is at hand." And then General Douglas MacArthur said, "We've had our last chance." And the former President Dwight Eisenhower said also, "Without a moral regeneration throughout the world, there's no hope for us, as we're going to disappear one day in the dust of an atomic explosion." And the former president of Columbia University, Dr. Nicholas Murray Butler, said, "The end cannot be far distant." And then the former Secretary of Defense, I think he was under the Eisenhower administration, James D. Forrestal, he said, "In my opinion, the state of tension will continue for the rest of our lives and those of our children. It is a gloomy prospect, but the cloud is a silver lining. Our earthly lives may be cut short at any moment by the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God as the advent of Christ to a strife-torn world is announced for the second time." So for a long time now, men in high places have looked into the future, and the best they could, they've said, "There's a great crisis coming." I wonder what they would say if they live in our day. Well, as a result, there has been a great turning to prophecy. And I believe that it's being developed today as it's never been before. But down through the history of the church, there actually have been four very definite systems of interpretation of prophecy based largely upon the book of Revelation. Now, I want to just mention these to pass them by, because a friend of mine, several years ago, a retired minister, when I was pastoring downtown Los Angeles, gave me some typewritten notes, notes that he had taken out of an old commentary. And I actually do not know who wrote that commentary. I haven't got to the end of the notes yet, and I may get there before this study is over, and I'm sure I will, and I'll be able to say. But this is one of the most scholarly works on Revelation, and it goes into so much detail, and it becomes a little complicated. And of these four major divisions of interpretation, for instance, he breaks down the preterists, which I'm going to mention first, into about 20 different interpretations, so that down through the history of the church, there have been many interpretations of prophecy. But I think that we can show today that the church has largely followed what we believe is the futurist interpretation.